The following sermon was preached at Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Redlands, California. For more information, please visit our website at hopeprc.org.
Scripture reading tonight is Psalm 119, verses 65 through 88. We read three of the sections tonight. Psalm 119, verse 65, Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word, unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live. For thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they deal perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, When wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Yet do I not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Thus far we read sacred scripture tonight. May God bless the reading of it to our hearts. The text for the sermon is verse 83. For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the inner spiritual life of the elect, regenerated believer is an incredible, indestructible, inextinguishable power. When you think about all of the sufferings and the hardships, the afflictions, the deprivations, the disappointments, the troubles that come upon God's people in this life, and when you think about some of the great persecution that God's saints must endure, sometimes they are required to give the ultimate sacrifice of their own life. And when you think about all the manifold temptations of the devil that continually assail the believer on this earth, you might conclude that it seems to be a guarantee that the believer will lose his faith, his inner spiritual life. But the believer never does. By faith, God's people stand, and faith is the victory which overcometh the world. What an incredible power is the power of the Holy Spirit that God graciously gives to His people, giving them an inner spiritual life, which is indeed indestructible and inextinguishable. But as the illustration of the text before us tonight indicates, though it is true that our spiritual life is indestructible, as the illustration of the text indicates, sometimes that life of faith is weakened and brought very, very close to extinguishment, so that the believer says, I am become like a bottle in the smoke. When a man says, I am become like a bottle in the smoke, that means his spiritual life is almost gone, almost extinguished. Section Kaf of Psalm 119, which is made up of verses 81 through 88, is the psalmist's expression of his intense suffering and sorrow, and it concludes with that plea of verse 88, quicken me after thy loving kindness. That the psalmist's suffering is very intense is indicated by the fact that he almost lost his spiritual life. He did not lose his spiritual life. He never will lose his spiritual life. As he says right in the text, yet do I not forget thy statutes. He will not forget God's statutes. And by the end of the section, he's offering this prayer of faith, quicken me after thy loving kindness. Matthew 12 verse 20 says of God, a bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. Faith can be weakened, and the life of faith can temporarily disappear, but faith can never be overcome. The psalmist did not lose his spiritual life, but he almost did. And that becomes plain in the text when he says, I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Some believers face such intense suffering and hardship that causes such deep struggles in their soul that they become like, they feel this, they become like a bottle in the smoke. Maybe that's not your condition tonight. Then thank God. But it is the condition of some of His people. And if you know a man who presently feels like a bottle in the smoke, or a woman, then pray for them. Lord, this man is like a bottle in the smoke. Quicken him after thy loving kindness. This dear friend of mine, she's like a bottle in the smoke. Quicken her after thy loving kindness. Let's look at Psalm 119, verse 83, under the theme, like a bottle in the smoke. First of all, let's consider the suffering soul. In the second place, the faithful remembrance. And third, the personal confession. When the psalmist speaks of his suffering soul and employs the figure of a bottle in the smoke, he's using a figure that was very familiar to him and to all of the men and women and children in Israel and to all the nomadic eastern peoples of thousands of years ago. We don't know what a bottle in the smoke is all about. We've never seen a bottle in the smoke. The figure doesn't mean anything to us, but it was common long ago. When I say bottle, you think glass wine bottle or amber-colored beer bottle or glass Coca-Cola bottle or clear plastic milk bottle for a baby or clear plastic disposable water bottle for a workout. When the psalmist said bottle, the Israelites thought goat skins. If you would like a bottle, you go to the store and buy one. If the Israelite wanted a bottle, he had to go out into his field and select a goat. We're told that goat skin is stronger than sheepskin, so he would select a goat. If you wanted a big bottle, he'd pick a big goat. If you wanted a smaller bottle, he'd pick a smaller goat. He would take his goat and, with his knife in hand, careful not to harm the body at all, and especially slice the stomach, he would cut off the goat's head. And then he'd cut off all four legs and the tail. Then he'd have to clean out the inside of his goat by reaching into the hole that was made after the head was cut off, and he'd have to pull out all the insides, all the guts, clean it out. Then he would sew up the holes that were created when he cut off the legs and the tail at the back end. If he wanted to, he could take the hair off the skin, but it wasn't necessary. He could keep the hair on. And now he has a bottle. Where the head was, that's the opening of the bottle. After it's all been cleaned out and it's all sealed up, now you can pour wine into that goat skin. Or you can pour water into that goat skin. A bottle was a leather bag. And it worked very well. It was a lot easier to transport water in a goatskin bottle than in a clay jar. Bottle. Goatskin. So next time you take a drink out of a bottle or you put a cup to the little spigot at the bottom of the big orange water cooler on Memorial Day, you can think, this is pretty great. The Israelites had goatskin bottles. Bottle. The Israelites would have many of these bottles hanging in and around their houses, we are told. And it was not uncommon for them to have fires in and around their homes, their tents. Time to cook. They might start a little fire in their tent. And they didn't have fireplaces and chimneys, and there would be smoke. The tent would be filled with smoke in or around the tent. And sometimes there were these goatskin bottles hanging nearby. And if the goatskin bottle got a little bit of smoke, it is said that that could tan it and be helpful for it. But if the goatskin bottle was exposed to too much smoke, then it would dry out. The leather would no longer be moist and strong, but it would be blackened and charred and parched. It would be chapped and start to crack. And then you wouldn't dare put your wine or your water in the bottle because it could leak out and the bottle was no longer any good. Sometimes, if the Israelite wasn't careful, he would leave a bottle too close to the smoke. As the smoke lingered, then the bottle would linger in the smoke and it would damage it. The bottle was never put in the fire. The fire would burn off the bottle and completely destroy it. But sometimes it got too close to the fire and so that to the smoke. And as the smoke lingered, it ruined the bottle as it got all dried out. The psalmist compares his suffering soul to a bottle in the smoke. He is like a bottle. He's not saying that his physical body is like a bottle, but his inner spiritual soul life is like a bottle. Verse 81, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. 82, mine eyes fail for thy word. He's not talking there about his physical eyes, but the spiritual eyes of faith are fainting for God's word, the word of his promise. Where is it? When wilt thou comfort me? So then in verse 83, when he says, for I am become like a bottle in the smoke, he's not talking about his physical body, but he's talking about his soul. The psalmist is a believer. He has a soul. Every man has a soul. But God has graciously given to him the power of faith so that he has faith in his soul. And inside of his soul, where there is faith, there is all of the spiritual energies and the movements of faith, so that his soul is moist and strong. In his soul, there will be pleasures and joys and comfort and confidence and hope. He loves life. He abounds in his work. He rejoices in God. He delights in his brethren. His confessions are so lively. His prayers, they effortlessly soar into the heavens. His mental state is so strong as he thinks on things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of a good report. All of these spiritual energies of faith are within the believer. He's like a bottle, a good, strong, moist, goat skin bottle for wine or water. Then there's the smoke. The smoke is suffering. And for the psalmist, his suffering is persecution. Verses 84 through 87. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Evidently for the psalmist, there were men in Israel who hated him. And they hated him without a cause. They persecuted him wrongfully. He had done nothing wrong. He had not broken the commandments of God. He loves the commandments of God. He has not mistreated any man. But they are wrongfully hating him and harassing him. They're digging pits around him. They're trying to trap him in his words and in his actions. And no doubt because he's devoted to God. And he does love God's commandments. He's a righteous man. Maybe the psalmist is one like David, who's running from Saul or from Absalom and far from the house of God. The psalmist is enduring persecution. So he begins in verse 81 saying, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. He's longing for deliverance from this persecution. Verse 82, mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? And now the text, for I am become like a bottle in the smoke. The psalmist wasn't in the fire, to keep the imagery of the text. His soul wasn't put in the fire so that it's completely destroyed and he loses his faith. But there was all this smoke of persecution that was lingering, a thick cloud of smoke, day after day after week after week. And his soul was hanging there in the midst of that persecution like a goatskin bottle. And it was getting all dried out and parched. He no longer has a moist vessel with a vibrant spiritual life. But he feels useless and all shriveled up, like a cracked, chapped goatskin bottle. I am a suffering soul. I am like a bottle in the smoke. When wilt thou comfort me? Every believer is like a bottle. If you have a soul, and you do, you're a human being. And if you have faith and all the inner movements of faith, you do. You are a believer by the grace of God, then you are moist within, strong within, full of all of these spiritual energies that are aimed at God. That's the believer. The believer is like a bottle. But when suffering comes and it doesn't go away, for it's like a thick cloud of smoke that hangs, that lingers, then the believer can, according to his experience, become like a bottle in the smoke. Some experience the persecution of which the psalmist speaks, mockery, harassment, being ostracized, loss of privilege. And at first, it's a little bit of smoke and it kind of tans the soul and makes it strong. But it can happen that as the persecution endures day after day after week, that the soul begins to dry out. When every single day the young woman goes to the bank where she's a teller, or to the office where she is a secretary, and her female coworkers continually whisper behind her back, and they harass her because she won't dress provocatively, when she comes to work. And she won't go to their parties for drinking on Friday night. And during the lunch break or when they're cleaning up after hours, she won't engage in that dirty, unchaste talk that has to do with private life. She refuses. And she goes to church every Sunday. She's a confessing Christian. And she does have a boyfriend, and boundaries have been set with her boyfriend. And because she kindly asks these other ladies in the office or in the bank not to use profane language, and because she prays before her meals, she's different, and they continue to ridicule her day after day after week, and it starts to make her life miserable, and she starts to hate the job that she loved. She loves the work, but now she hates the environment. And when she goes home from work, she has to think about coming back to work the next morning, being surrounded by all of these cruel women, and it makes her feel miserable. And all of that smoke that lingers, that thick cloud of smoke, it starts to dry out her soul. The pleasures of her spiritual life and her faith, they start to dry up. Her soul gets charred and blackened with discouragement and sorrow. She says, "Mine eyes fail for thy word," saying, When wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke." Some believers experience great discomfort and pain in their bodies because of injury or disease. And initially, it makes them stronger spiritually. It creates within their soul the moisture of praise and gratitude to God for all things that they have, which before some of this trouble came, they didn't always see these good things. But as that smoke of suffering lingers for so long, it can begin to dry out the moisture of the believer's soul trying to do life. That's all. Trying to do life, trying to be a normal, functioning human being with unrelenting pain and discomfort and weakness, it wears on one to such an extent that there are times when one lies in bed and never gets out of bed all day and only has one goal, and that's to see tomorrow, just to get through the day. There are no joyful confessions. There are no soaring prayers. There are no spiritual pleasures. There's no eagerness for the future. There's no cheerful communication, but it's abject misery, just trying to make it through another day. The moisture of the soul is starting to dry up. And one says, "Mine eyes fail for thy word," saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, spiritually parched and dry. Some believers experience profound sorrow of soul. For some, there's the lingering grief that's caused by the death of a loved one. And the suffering now is not the initial shock of the absolute separation and finality of death, but it's the suffering of the emptiness and the brokenness that continues for so long. And others have great sorrow in their soul. Nobody in the church knows about it. Great sorrow in their soul because of adversities, disappointments, losses in one way or another. Even feel perhaps like they're sinking into a kind of depression. So that the believer says with the psalmist, "I am like a bottle in the smoke. When will God comfort me? It's hard for me to find pleasure even in eating and in drinking. And in fellowshipping, and in laughing, and even in reading the Bible. And it's even hard for me to try to pray. The moisture, my soul is departing. I'm parched like a bottle in the smoke." Beloved, the bruised reed God will not break, and the smoking flax God will not quench, and the dried out leather goat skin bottle of the believer's soul, our merciful God will never allow to become completely blackened and parched and cracked so that it must be thrown out as something useless. God always preserves faith in every single one of his children, the inner life of faith. And the psalmist acknowledges that to be the case for him personally when he says in the text, "Yet do I not forget thy statutes." Though almost all of the moisture of his inner soul life, the pleasures, the joys, the comforts are dried up, God always preserves in the soul a faithful remembrance, so that the soul remembers God's statutes. "For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes." The psalmist uses the negative. He doesn't put it positively, saying, "Yet do I remember thy statutes," but he deliberately uses the negative, "Yet do I not forget thy statutes," because the forgetting of God's statutes almost occurred, and the devil was working tirelessly to get it to occur, and it almost seemed like it occurred, but no, it did not occur. "I do not forget thy statutes." God preserves in the most grievously afflicted, persecuted, grieving, diseased, pain-riddled, sorrowful believer a faithful remembrance of his statutes. Statutes is one of the synonyms in Psalm 119 for the Word of God. Psalm 119, of course, is the great biblical chapter extolling the Word of God, its content, its characteristics, its blessings. And that term word is used in verse 81, "I hope in thy word." Verse 82, "Mine eyes fail for thy word." For the psalmist, the word of God is God's self-revelation to Israel, which came to them by way of Moses. We know it as the book of the law, the book of the covenant, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, God's word to Israel. Almost every verse in Psalm 119 includes one of these synonyms of word: commandments, judgments, law, precepts, testimonies, way, and statutes. The term in the text tonight is statutes. A statute, children, is not a wood or stone figure of some person or animal, like the Statue of Liberty or a statue of Abraham Lincoln. That's a statue. The word in the text tonight is statute. Statute. A statute is a law or decree issued by a sovereign king or by the legislative body of the government. And the word statute means something due, something that is owed, something that must be given to the sovereign. The term statute emphasizes the binding authority and the permanence of the law. If a mother said, "Son, I would like you to go outside and feed all of our goats before you sit down for breakfast," that's not a statute. That's her rule, and the son had better obey his mother, according to the fifth commandment, "Honor thy father and thy mother." But it's not a statute. It doesn't have the status of a statute. But if the king of the kingdom in which the boy and his family lives would issue a decree and write it out and maybe even write it in stone saying, all of the boys of my kingdom must go out and feed their family goats every morning before they sit down for breakfast. That is a statute, a binding decree of the king. When the psalmist speaks of statutes, he's referring to the word of God as God gave it to Israel from the point of view of its binding authority and permanence. So a statute is a binding, authoritative, permanent word from God to Israel in which God expresses to Israel what is due unto him, what Israel must give unto him. And the text uses the plural statutes. Everything God required of his people was a statute. Every one of the Ten Commandments of the moral law and all the civil laws and every jot and tittle of all of the ceremonial laws. But there always was one great statute of God, the sovereign King of Israel. Have no other gods before me. That's the great statute. I am the living God, Jehovah. I have created the heavens and the earth. I have in my covenantal mercy brought you out of bondage in Egypt. I am God, Jehovah God, and God alone. Have no other gods before me. Worship me, serve me, love me, confess me, praise me, submit to me. I am God. Deuteronomy 6 begins, verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. And later on in verses 7 and following, Moses says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. We know these words. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Statutes. And in that section in the beginning of Deuteronomy chapter 6, there's only one statute that is explicitly mentioned. It's Deuteronomy 6 verses 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. The statute on which all of the other statutes hang, the authoritative, binding, permanent, unchangeable word of the sovereign king to all his people Israel in the kingdom is, have no other gods before me. Worship me and love me with all your heart. And then out of that come all the other statutes. The psalmist says, yet do I not forget thy statutes. He does not mean that he has this memory of God's statutes so that he could recite some of them, though that's true. But in that sense, he could also have a memory of many of his sins, and he does, as we all do. When he says that he does not forget God's statutes, that means he remembers God's statutes. And the idea is with fondness, with love, I do not forget. I remember thy statutes. He says then, when my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow as the wicked persecute me without a cause, and when my soul faints for thy salvation, and when mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? And when I am like a bottle in the smoke, and I feel all dried out spiritually and worthless, so that it feels like I have no spiritual life yet. There's one thing I always have. There's one little drop of moisture that never departs from my soul, there's one evidence of God's grace that is still working in my heart. The beleaguered believer says the same. When I'm like a bottle in the smoke, when I'm in the depths of sorrow, even getting depressed, when I'm weeping because of inconsolable grief week after week, when I'm crawling my way through life and needing morphine to do it, the pain is overwhelming. When I'm so full of anguish because of the adversities of my life, when I can no longer sit down and read the Bible and formulate my own prayer, when I cannot find any excitement to be with God's people, so I stay home. When my soul is parched and dried out and the moisture is turning into the drought of summer so that I hardly feel like a child of God anymore. Yet, there's one thing. One thing I always have. There's that one moisture that never departs from my soul. I do not forget thy statutes. Now, I don't always see myself keeping thy statutes as I ought, and that makes me sorrowful, but I love them. I love thy statutes. I remember thy statutes. And if in my greatest sorrow, as a bottle in the smoke, some man should come to my tent with the two tables of stone in which is inscribed the law of God, and a heavy hammer or rock to smash to pieces the law of God in hatred for God. If I'm writhing in pain on a bed in the hospital, I cannot pray. In a Muslim chaplain, let's suppose, would walk through the door and say, "May I read to you the Quran and offer on your behalf a prayer to Allah? If I am clothed in sackcloth and ashes and lying prostrate in the dust of the earth like a bottle in the smoke, and my own wife should come and say, 'Curse God and die.' If I'm like a bottle in the smoke so that I cannot even pray or meditate on God's word, but I hear blasphemy, reproach from my God, no matter how low I am, I react in holy horror in my soul, because though I have almost no spiritual life left, I have that little bit of moisture, which is a remembrance of God's statutes. I love God, the God of Israel. I love His statutes, and His statute, have no other gods before me. I love that statute. All thy statutes. Thy statute keep the Sabbath day holy. I don't do it perfectly, but I love that commandment. And in the midst of my greatest suffering and sorrow, though I have little spiritual movement in my soul, if the church would try to abolish the fourth commandment, that would agitate me. Though little creates movement in my soul, that would agitate me, because I remember with fondness the statutes of God. I may be like a bottle in the smoke, but I don't want to go murder a man. I don't want to go commit adultery with a woman. I don't want to steal from my neighbor. I love God's statutes. Now that's amazing, beloved. Suffering can nearly extinguish the life of faith, so that the believer has little, or maybe even no, desire to get up and actively engage in positive acts of worship and service with joy and gratitude. But there's always one thing that Satan can never, never, never take from the believer's heart. And that's the statutes that God wrote upon the fleshly tablet of His heart. He will not curse God and die. He cannot. He may not have a song of praise. He may not have a prayer for God, but he will not curse God and die. He He fears God. And he never forgets the statutes of his God. The psalmist and every believer, no matter how low they get, faithfully remember God's statutes. And that's because God faithfully remembers the believer. The explanation for the indestructible nature of faith and this faithful remembrance of God's statutes, no matter what happens, is that God faithfully remembers each individual child of his. And that for Jesus' sake. Do you know who really, really was like a bottle in the smoke? Go to Calvary and behold, is there any smoke like unto that smoke? Is there any blackened, parched soul of sorrow like unto that blackened, parched soul of sorrow? Did not our Lord say while he was hanging from the cross, I am become like a bottle in the smoke, when he said, I thirst. His moisture was drying up. He was not singing psalms on the cross. He was not eagerly looking forward to another day. He was not abounding in the work of preaching. His soul was not soaring into heaven with high and lofty prayers. For the spiritual energies of his soul were drying up in the lingering smoke of God's wrath, out of the nostrils of the sovereign King and holy Judge, Jehovah God of Israel, was breathed all of the smoke of his wrath and fury against your sins and against my sin and against the psalmist's sins. And that smoke engulfed Calvary, especially for 6 hours. While Jesus was hanging from the cross, he was like a goat skin bottle hanging there in the smoke of God's fury and wrath at Calvary. And in the midst of it all, he never forgot God's statutes. He never forgot the one great statute, love me with all your heart, even if I command you to give your life a ransom and to die for all of my people, that I may be glorified as the God of mercy and justice, the God of Israel. Then die for the sake of my people while loving me with all your heart. He never forgot that statute. It was fond to him in his remembrance. He loved it. He would not curse God and die while God was bringing his curse upon him. And in love for God, he was smoked to death. After feeling that smoke so intensely for 6 hours on the cross and being all dried out, he finally descended into the fire itself. And he died. The bottle was burned. And with the burning of the bottle was the burning of all of your sins, so that God will never punish you for your sins. And for Jesus' sake, he will never put us in the fire. And in the worst of our suffering, in the lingering smoke, he faithfully remembers us for Jesus' sake. Our soul faints for his salvation. He will bring it. Our eyes long for the comfort of his word. He will bring it. Our soul cries, Quicken me after thy loving kindness. Where does that prayer come from? But God is already quickening us within for Jesus' sake. Our soul will never forget his statutes because in grace he wrote those statutes upon our heart. He remembers us always for Jesus' sake. The reason the smoke cannot take all of our life and moisture is because that moisture within is a person. As we heard this morning in Lord's Day 20, the very Spirit of God, the breath of God is in you. Can smoke quench God? There is no smoke of any suffering that can quench God, the Holy Spirit within. The reason we, in the midst of all adversity, remember God's statutes is because he is so faithful in continually remembering us for Jesus' sake. Is the confession of the psalmist yours tonight? If it is not, because you do not feel like a bottle in the smoke, then rejoice, be exceeding glad, and give God the thanks. If you do feel like a bottle in the smoke, you're not alone. You see, others have felt this way. The psalmist did. Who was the psalmist? Maybe it was David. David was a king. David was an office bearer. David was a leader, sometimes office bearers. Sometimes leaders, like a father or a mother in the home, get so low that even they feel like a bottle in the smoke. Maybe it was a young man. Verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Maybe the psalmist is referring to himself because he's a young man. Young men are the picture of strength. But Isaiah 40 verse 30 says, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Some young men are not what they appear to be on the outside, because they're covering up for you what's on the inside. And on the inside, they're suffering, and they feel like a bottle in the smoke. That was the experience of the psalmist. And so he confessed, for I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Don't be ashamed to say it, to confess it. The psalmist did. Say to God, I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Confide in a friend, an office bearer, a pastor. Say it, I am become like a bottle in the smoke. The psalmist wasn't always this way. He says, for I am become like a bottle in the smoke. The psalmist won't always be this way because he prays, quicken me after thy loving kindness, and the faithful Jehovah will quicken him before a time. He felt like a bottle in the smoke. Saying it was not complaining. It's a fact. It's the truth. He had to confess it, and he did confess it. I am become like a bottle in the smoke. And say, yet do I not forget thy statutes. That's true also. You love God and his statutes. And that's the reason that we believers, that's the proof for us believers, that God will always faithfully remember us. We have the evidence within us that we remember his statutes. How can it be that we remember his statutes? Because God has graciously given to us faith And that little evidence of the inner life of faith within us, God be thanked for our faith, the indestructible, inextinguishable faith. And out of it comes the confession, yet do I not forget thy statutes. Say that. The old dried out goat skin was cracked and ruined by the smoke. Couldn't be trusted to hold wine or water again. It lost its value and maybe was thrown out. But when we are parched and dried, we are still of value to God. He can still use us, and He can still fill us again with His grace and comfort and praise and gratitude and godliness. And He will. Once a bottle, always a bottle. Once a vessel for the praise of God, always a vessel for the praise of God. So that even when we are smoked, He will quicken us according to His loving kindness. Be assured of that. Do not doubt that tonight. Anyone, do not doubt it. He will quicken you according to His loving kindness for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we have our weakness exposed in the psalm tonight, and among other things, it causes us with eagerness to anticipate the life of heaven, to start imagining what that will be like in our souls. They will always be moist and full of inner movements and energies of pleasure and praise and gratitude, never weakening in any respect. Perfect we will become. Until then, we are pilgrims in this earth and often passing through heavy smoke, sometimes even hanging there in the lingering smoke. Abide with us, O God. Abide with us, even in the suffering, and especially in the suffering. Abide with us, remember us, and quicken us after thy loving kindness. We ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen.